from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, happy Wednesday. There's a report coming out of Pittsburgh from Andrew Filippone, who hosts a show at 93.7 The Fan, an Odyssey station. I am not familiar with Andrew's reporting, so take this with a grain of salt, perhaps multiple grains of salt and a shot of tequila. But Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh reporting, the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out now. The wide receiver is coming to Pittsburgh. So.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is one of Brandon Ayuk's preferred destinations. It was Pittsburgh or Washington or the 49ers. That's where he wanted to play football this year. So if the hangup is contract stuff, or the hangup is, I shouldn't say contract stuff, his willingness to go there the way that it appeared to be with New England and the Patriots, who had a framework for a trade in place, according to Matt Maiocco, they have now pulled out of trade talks, according to Adam Schefter. And Maiocco reported that the Patriots were offering a deal north of $30.5 million a year.
Yeah.
Which means if that's on the table and a framework for a trade is in place, Ayuk just said no. He didn't want to play there. So if this is real, if the 49ers do have a trade worked out with the Steelers, and if there are contract terms being hammered out that Brandon Ayuk is amenable to, then we're probably going to see Brandon Ayuk playing football this season in a Steelers uniform.
Yeah, this has gotten wild.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's gotten wild. I think the biggest concern, if you're a 49ers fan at this point, is like, what are you getting back for Ayuk, and how big of a step are you taking backwards?
Yikes. That's the...
Yeah, because like this is one of those moments where you're like, they messed around, and they found out.
They learned today. Yeah, and Maiocco brings this up on NBC Sports. So he laid out what a deal would look like with the Browns, the Steelers, and the Patriots. The Patriots had now backed out of the deal, but it sounded like it was going to be Kendrick Bourne, the wide receiver, and some kind of picks.
Mm-hmm.
What those picks were, don't know. The Browns, it sounded like Amari Cooper might be involved in the deal, along with some kind of draft compensation.
Mm-hmm.
With the Steelers, there's no wide receiver that the Steelers have that I would think the 49ers are itching to go get.
Yeah.
They have Roman Wilson, who's a rookie. They have George Pickens, who has had some nice numbers in his career, but based on what we know Kyle Shanahan likes and doesn't like out of his receivers, I don't think George Pickens would be his guy.
Very talented, but very sloppy overall as a player.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah. He makes great catches. He also makes blunders all the time.
Yeah, he's super talented. I think he's going to get paid. And I just don't think the 49ers are going to want to have to deal with this again next year where they're having to potentially pay a young receiver that wants a ton of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And frankly, like I said, I just don't... The way DK Metcalf, talented as hell, but was never a guy that Kyle Shanahan was going to want on his team. He might now, but I don't think that George Pickens has shown enough. So Mayoko opines that, and Matt Mayoko is the kind of reporter that when he opines something, I tend to look at it as an educated guess by him and not him just grabbing things out of the air and throwing them at the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like I worked with Matt. You worked with Matt. Mm-hmm. I worked with Matt for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 years, and I was a podcast coordinator as well as the Kings Insider for NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to edit his podcast every single week for a long time. And then once he took over and was able to edit himself, we would still go back and forth about content and things like that. I had to tell him he couldn't have his Renfrew music and at the end of his pod. but Matt is not someone who messes around, and he's, to be honest, like I think he and Monty and myself were all kind of cut from a lot of the same cloth when it comes to how we talk about the team, what we know, what we don't know, how we treat things. Like we make sure if we're talking like pie in the sky, this is, we can discuss like what a potential trade would look like. But when we really talk about what might happen and what might not happen, we're usually very honest. And also what we write is slightly cryptic, but also we know more than we're letting on.
And he says in his piece, again, you can read this at NBCSportsBayArea.com, quote, if no player is involved, the 49ers could seek two second-day draft picks, said after picks, second-day draft picks. Let's say the 49ers acquire second and third-round selections from Pittsburgh. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's a second and third from Pittsburgh, along with another pick in the 2026 draft. If that's the compensation... If the 49ers wind up dealing Brandon Ayuk in August of 2024 for 2025 and 2026 draft picks, again, I'm not fire people guy.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about hot seats and you want to talk about microscopes. The 49ers were already under a microscope because they've had so much success without hoisting a Lombardi trophy. And they were already under some kind of pressure because their window was closing fairly rapidly with this core of players. And how they continue keeping their Super Bowl window open was going to define the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch era over the next 4 or 5 seasons, assuming they make it that far. If you're trading Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh for draft picks next year and the year after, and not even first round draft picks, and this is a Steelers team that under Mike Tomlin has never gone below 500. The worst the Steelers have been is 9-8. They've never been below 500. So you're getting this draft capital from a team that you figure even if they don't have success, they're going to be middle of the pack. So it's not like an early second round pick. It's not like you're getting the 33rd overall pick. You're getting a pick in the 50s.
I understand why Ayuk would want to go to Pittsburgh. Like, they are a storied franchise. Not only that, but, like, over the last couple of years, we can talk all we want. Like, if somehow the 49ers were able to get Pickens, let's just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, look at who threw to Pickens last year.
Kenny Pickett.
Yep. Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, Mitch Trubisky, of course, yeah. Was Mason Rudolph still there last year?
Yes. He started 3 games.
Has he caught passes from Duck Hodges in his career? Or is he post-Duck? Is he after the Duck Hodges experiment?
I'm not sure. There's a possibility that if you are going to get a wide receiver from them, that they might have more skill than what we know as of right now. That they might have more ability Just because they haven't been in a good situation.
They're going to be worse than Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, no, for sure.
Like, that's the reason this is a problem. The 49ers are actively making their team worse in an avoidable situation. That's why this doesn't make any sense. If you knew that there was a modicum of a possibility that you weren't going to bend to whatever his contract demands were, assuming they weren't going to be outrageous, and from all accounts, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew there was any possibility, any speck of a possibility you weren't going to keep him, then you should have traded him during the draft when reporting indicates that the 49ers could have gotten a first-round pick for him, if not an early second-round pick.
Yeah.
To get a player that could help you now. But instead, you're going to ship off Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh. You're going to get some draft picks. You're going to go, all right, Juwan Jennings, you're up. Go be Brandon Ayuk. All right, Ricky Pearsall, who can't even stay healthy, go out there. Go be awesome.
Yeah, you put yourself in a really, really bad situation, man.
It's not a good spot.
We're at the end. Like, this is, the teams are gearing up to play. I mean,
yes!
the 49ers play on Saturday.
On Saturday!
They play this weekend, like a preseason game. I mean, you've got 3 or 4 weeks until this thing starts. So I don't know what to say. Like, if this does go down like it looks like it's going to, I think that there should be a lot of disappointment. The 49ers, it's very, very tough to see how they get better at all in a trade right here.
They don't.
Yeah.
It's a catastrophe, dude.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Does it mean they can't win the Super Bowl this year? No. Does it diminish their chances? Yes.
Yes.
Does it diminish their chances to be good in the future? Yes. And I was going through this yesterday. I went through the depth chart without Brandon Ayuk on it.
Mm.
Here's what I came up with. I'm just projecting here. You've got, where are we at? Where did I put that? I want to make sure I have this right. All right. You have Deebo Samuel. You have Juwan Jennings is now wide receiver 2.
Mm-hmm.
Quick note on that. Juwan Jennings has been super valuable in his role, right?
Yeah.
Third down guy, great blocker. How many catches do you think Juwan Jennings has in his career?
110.
78. 3 more than Brandon Ayuk had all of last year.
No.
I swear. Do you know how many yards he has?
Oh, that's going to be like 900 and something.
Yes, 960.
Okay.
You get a ding for that. Nice job. Oh, nope. Hang on. There it is. You get a ding for that. 960 yards.
What's he got, like 12 touchdowns though?
7.
7.
Oh. He has 3 more catches, the same amount of touchdowns, and 400 fewer yards in his career than Brandon Ayuk had last year.
Mm.
And the reason for that is I think he would be more productive in a wide receiver 2 role just because there'd be more volume.
Yeah.
But Juwan Jennings is a slow 7th round pick. He cannot do all the different things and threaten defenses in all the different ways that Brandon Ayuk does. So God love Juwan Jennings, but you're now pushing him into a bigger role consistently that he may or may not be cut out for.
I love him as a receiver.
Big fan.
Yeah, I was so excited when the 49ers brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I think he's number 2 wide receiver material on a potential Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm that's tough.
It's like Trey Lyles. Love Trey Lyles. Awesome in his role.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a team trying to win a title and you're like, yeah, we're going to roll Trey Lyles out, that's going to be our starting 5. Don't love that. I don't love him in that role.
Yeah.
But as a in the 8th guy with the Kings? Perfect.
Seventh guy, eighth guy? Yeah, that's fine.
Great. So...
Yeah, tough.
Juwan Jennings is now your number 2. Ricky Pearsall is now your number 3.
Whew.
And okay, maybe. And that's what all this is. It takes away so much certainty about, you know, Juwan Jennings is awesome in a wide receiver 3 role. You feel really good about Ricky Pearsall as the 4th, maybe sometimes depending on situation and game script, maybe the 3rd wide receiver, but more likely 4th. It allows Jacob Cowing, your other rookie, to not necessarily redshirt this year, but not have a huge role. And then maybe keep Ronnie Bell as a special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Conley, Trent Taylor, those guys can go to the practice squad. They can come up if you need them. Just reliable veterans. Like, there you go. Everything's falling into place. But now all of a sudden, like, Conley has to be on the team. That's a veteran who knows what he's doing. Chris Conley, who has like 40 catches the last 3 years.
Wow.
And maybe not even that. I think it's 29, actually. I think it's 29 catches the last 3 years. Like, that's not awesome. Don't love that. And he's now your fourth and maybe sometimes third receiver?
Well, and the problem that you have, too, that your number one is Debo, who can't stay healthy.
Not reliably.
No.
And I've
that's tough.
I've seen all the reports out of camp. He looks awesome. He's in shape, and he's been tearing it up in camp. Okay, awesome. And maybe he blows up and has a year like he did in 2021. But again, are you ready to bank on that?
Mm-mm.
Are you ready to bank on it? It throws so much of the certainty they had out the window. And again, it's not to say that the 49ers can't put together a good offense without Brandon Ayuk. They can. We've seen him do it, and that's part of Kyle Shanahan's thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's less about that, because that's a discussion that you can have in April. That's a discussion that you can have when the 49ers trade Ayuk for a late first round pick. You can have that discussion then and go, hey, man, what does our offense look like? Okay, who did they pick? Okay, how do they fit in? Da, 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 da. The issue here is not that. It's that it's August. They blew it. They blew it. Like, there's no way to spin this.
Yeah.
That makes it sound good. Even if they get George Pickens, he's a worse player than Brandon Ayuk. Up, down, right, left, backwards. He's just a worse player.
Yeah, he's not as good.
I am floored that a team that typically does good business and that typically builds these things the right way is going to get demolished like this in a contract negotiation over reportedly like a couple of million dollars. That's where I can't level this in my head.
Okay, no, so
none of this makes sense.
My two biggest concerns are this. Number one, you're taking away his security blanket from your young quarterback. His guy. This is where Brock Purdy loves to live, is in the 20 to 30 yard range. He loves to live there. And you're taking away the guy that lives in that range for him. Now, you might find someone else that can live in that range too, but for right now, this is a guy who performs a specific role. The other problem is that when you take away that 20 to 30 yard range, if they don't find someone else who can do that, then who are you? Because you don't have a blow the top off the defense speed guy. You don't have that guy on your roster that has ever stayed healthy or has ever really been a productive NFL player. So how are you going to extend the defense? So now that shifts the defense up 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they don't have to worry about this longer pass.
Mm-hmm. The intermediate range.
And not the over the top, but the intermediate range that he lives in.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away what Kittle does. It takes away what Debo does. It takes away what McCaffrey does. Like, it does limit their offense. So hopefully they can find a guy. But again, if they would have done this a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, they would have had plenty of time to develop whatever rapport between quarterback and wide receiver needs to be developed. At this point, you've lost all of that leeway. And again, we're talking about a team who has a window that's closing. And you're taking out a 26-year-old, like, all-pro wide receiver. Everyone keeps saying, oh, second-team all-pro. Like, don't admit, he's an all-pro wide receiver. He's one of the best players in football.
Yes.
One of the
five best receivers in the sport.
If he goes away, you don't have him, and you have nothing to replace him with because you've done this too late in the in the offseason.
I should say, one of the five best receivers in the sport, according to all pro teams.
Yes.
That's just kind of the...
Yeah, it's crazy.
...gist of it. Brandon Ayuk was the fifth highest graded... Nope, that's not right. Stand by. 50%. Brandon Ayuk was the highest graded by Pro Football Focus wide receiver on intermediate routes last year.
Yeah.
Tied with CeeDee Lamb, both at 99.9.
Oh, yeah. I think that's good.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't understand it. I don't.
We do have the Mike Silver comment from yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought that this was this was in the Chronicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. According to Michael Silver, why would Kyle Shanahan sign off on such an incongruous strategy? Quite simply, according to multiple sources, the head coach is bothered by Ayuk's behavior, from the receiver's conspicuous bro hugs to his perceived brooding and willing to move on. Like,
I don't buy it.
That's exit strategy stuff right there. That's like, come on now.
I don't buy that.
How long is he there?
Huh?
How long has he been there?
Who?
Brandon Ayuk.
This is his fifth year. He's been there for 4 years.
Yeah, so you had 4 years worth of Brandon Ayuk knowing who he is as a kid, as a player, as everything else.
Yeah.
You don't make your mind up on a kid over a week and a half of training camp.
It wouldn't shock me if this is annoying to the coaching staff because they want Ayuk out there mm-hmm. and he's just in the building but not practicing.
Yeah.
I understand why that, but there's no way. There's just no way. Kyle Shanahan said it yesterday. You get worse when you lose great players.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way Kyle Shanahan was sitting there in his office going, you know what? This sucks. Trade his ass.
He gave me a bro hug.
No,
I want him out.
Chance.
I want
dude.
Him out of here now. The bro hug was inappropriate.
And I don't like Michael Silver is a well-connected reporter. I don't want this to turn into Michael Silver is making stuff up. That's not what I'm saying. It feels like this is drawing a conclusion from information that he was given. But he's drawing his own conclusion. So he says, why would Kyle Shanahan sign off on such an incongruous strategy? Quite simply, according to multiple sources, the head coach is bothered by his behavior, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's two separate things.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Kyle Shanahan has final say on this stuff, I know, but I also don't think that I don't think he's that deeply involved in it.
Yeah.
Where he'd be sitting there going, okay, fine, yeah, give him the money or trade him, or I don't think it's that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that just I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna have to see because it's gonna be Shanahan who has to make up for this. It's gonna have to be him and his offense
that
has to figure out how to scheme around this.
So that's kind of the other aspect of this. Just spinning it forward and getting beyond Brandon Ayuk for a second. Let's live in the world, which we might be anyway. Let's live in the world where he does get traded to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
If the 49ers really believe that Brock Purdy is a franchise quarterback. If the 49ers really believe that Brock Purdy is that guy who's going to be the rising tide that lifts all boats, and he's going to be the guy that they can pay a ton of money to and then let some good players walk because they're going to be okay because Brock Purdy is there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is where my holdup with him is, or where my questions are with him, because we just saw the Chiefs, who won a Super Bowl because they traded Tyreek Hill and they brought in Kadarius Toney and they went with Rashee Rice and they still rolled with Sky Moore and they bring back Mecole Hardman and it's like two traffic cones and some Lincoln Logs and they create a receiving core that Patrick Mahomes, just with the help of the best tight end ever in Travis Kelce, just cruise their way to a Super Bowl. Just figure out ways to win and they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have my reservations about whether Brock Purdy is that dude. But if he is that, and if the 49ers believe that, then you start to see a little bit more of the logic of why they would be like, you know what, fine, trade him. Fine, trade Ayuk. Three picks from the Steelers? Yeah, we can use those in the future to get better. Trade him. Brock Purdy is going to make sure that Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall and Chris Conley are enough. Which, they're going to bet a lot of money on Purdy financially next offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And given the way this Ayuk debacle has gone, they would be wise to try and do it the day after week 18 ends, because that's when rookie contracts are eligible to be extended.
Mm-hmm.
after week 18 of the player's third year, which that will be for Brock Purdy this year, they're going to commit, they're going to bet real money on Brock Purdy. And now they, by trading Ayuk, are metaphorically betting on him to be a player who can overcome the loss of an all-pro wide receiver.
But here's my problem with that. First and foremost, we're trying to compare something happened with Patrick Mahomes to something for Brock Purdy, which, not to be disrespectful to Brock Purdy, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. No one,
not
is,
even a little bit.
No one's Patrick Mahomes. The other problem I have with this is that they didn't trade Tyreek Hill until after Mahomes' fifth season, where he's established. And he is a guy who has built wide receivers at least somewhat around outside of Tyreek Hill. He's someone who has a proven track record at that point. He's a guy who's already thrown for 5,000 yards. He's already thrown for 50 touchdowns in the season. All of these accolades. He's already been an MVP. He's already won a Super Bowl. All of those things.
Yep.
He is established. That's not who we're talking about at this point. Like Brock Purdy, and I think Brock Purdy's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Like I think he's going to be a guy that we just... every time you sit here and you question him, he's going to answer the bell because he has so far, right? And that still doesn't change the fact that you're asking him now at this point to figure something out, because that's what you're doing. He's the one who actually has to execute on the field. We talk about Shanahan's got to scheme it. We've got all these things. But at the end of the day, it's the guy who has to execute it on the field is a guy who's literally entering basically his second year as a starting quarterback.
Second full season as a starter.
Yeah, second full season as a starter. As the final pick in the NFL draft, like from 3 years ago. And now you're going to take off. Again, it's about the training wheels. This is all the training wheels are gone. You might have McCaffrey. You still have Kittle. You still have Debo sometimes. But now it's like, what are you doing outside of that? Because you don't have an offensive line. Because you didn't put the money into that. You couldn't spend on the offensive line because you have to pay your specialty positions.
Right.
You don't pay your specialty positions. Now what are you going to do?
And the question is, and D'Lo and KC were talking about this yesterday, and I think it's a fair question. Let's say you keep Ayuk, but you know that next offseason you're losing Debo Samuel. And you know you're losing... We'll stick on offense. You know you're losing Debo Samuel, and then maybe in 2 years you're losing George Kittle, and then maybe after three, Christian McCaffrey is going to be 31 and either out of here or less effective.
Yeah.
Are you ready to, instead of paying Ayuk, are you ready to just go forward the next 3 years with George Kittle, who turns 30 in October? You get Debo Samuel, who I think is 29.
Something like that.
Can we look that up real quick? I believe Debo is either 29 now or turns 29 this year.
He is 28 right now. He will turn 29 in January.
Okay, so turns 29 at the end of the season. So he'll be here for his age 29 season, and he'll need a new contract.
He's also a player who's caught for 1,000 yards one time.
Yes.
He's broke 900 yards one time.
And it was the year he broke 1,000?
It's the year he put up 1,400.
Right.
Outside of that, it's 800, it's 400, it's 600, and it's 900.
Yeah.
892.
With him, you got to go to the scrimmage yards, too, because of what he contributes as a rusher. But no, I get what you're saying. There's a world where Debo Samuel's game doesn't age super gracefully. And George Kittle, given his injury history, and I know he hasn't missed like a ton of games in his career, but it feels like he's good for one or two a year. He's dealing with a shoulder thing that he won't get surgery on until after his career is over because he doesn't want to take the time off in the offseason. He's banged up just constantly. Like, he's constantly playing through injury and stuff. And you're just going to roll with that guy into his age 33, 34 season?
Yeah, he will be 31 in October.
Yeah.
Kittle will.
Yes. Crazy.
Yeah.
He's going to be 31.
That's wild.
Like, that's what the 49ers are looking at when you consider, okay, would you rather have these guys or Ayuk? Over the next 5 years, to me, it's a pretty easy answer.
Yep.
Now, next year? Okay, yeah. Or this year? But that's not the question. The Ayuk contract is about the next 3, 4, 5 years of 49ers football and trying to extend that Super Bowl window. We know that the in a perfect world, the... What's the lifespan of this core. You have three more years of Trent Williams, maybe. It's about 3 years. Three more years of Trent Williams. You get the back of George Kittle's prime. You get the last few years of peak Deebo Samuel. You get the last couple of years of peak Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
But then beyond that...
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't feel great about it.
Man, you think you get three more years of Trent Williams at 36?
I'm trying to be as generous as possible.
I hope there's three more years of Trent Williams. I mean, yeah. he's so incredible, but...
Yeah, but still, like, let's just call it 3 years, mm-hmm, with no Brandon Ayuk, and you have this aging core.
Yeah.
And are you betting that Ricky Pearsall is going to be that player? You're going to find just another Brandon Ayuk?
Maybe.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a tough spot. It's a tough spot to be in. All right. We have our Rivercats Sweet Night giveaway. That's coming up in a bit. The A's. Well, dubious record for the A's with their loss last night. We'll talk about that. And Lauri Markkanen got paid. We got all that, plus plenty of more Brandon Ayuk stuff coming up on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, I'm not rolling with that one.
Nope.
We'll rock with our guy, Andrew Filippone, out in Pittsburgh, that said a Brandon Ayuk trade is done. But Jordan Schultz, NFL Insider he's been a couple different places. I don't know if he's working anywhere right now.
Jordan Schultz, the Schultz Report, No, he just calls himself NFL Insider. I didn't know.
Yes.
Okay.
He was with The Score for a while, I think. Or Bleacher Report. I don't know. What did he say? According, he's usually pretty plugged in.
Yeah, according to Jordan Schultz, there is currently no trade in place for all-pro wide receiver Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers. I am told the 49ers have had discussions in recent days regarding a potential Ayuk trade with several teams, but as of this post, nothing is finalized. That was August 5th. Today, 2 minutes ago, there is still no deal between the 49ers and Steelers on a trade that would send Ayuk to Pittsburgh. Per multiple sources, the two sides have spoken, they continue to speak, and the situation remains very fluid, but as of this post, there is no agreement.
Huh. Don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners are doing all this to see what contract the Steelers offer and then just go, okay, cool, we'll match that.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Like, can you come back? Can you come back from it?
No. TBD. All right. You know what? You can't come back from letting a team that's lost 21 consecutive games beat you in your building. That's a tough scene for the Oakland Athletics. They fall to the White Sox last night, 5-1. Hopefully, you listen to the Green and Gold pregame show, where told you that was going to happen. Ross Stripling was due to faceplant,
turn into a pumpkin.
He did. Jonathan Cannon, good start for Chicago
again.
And yep. This is why, like, I don't want to dig super deep into this, but 21 games in a row in any sport or any competition is crazy. Losing 21 straight times, right? Especially in baseball, where they had no games like last night, where they just got a really good start from their pitcher, they pile up a couple of runs, and their pitching staff carries them. Like, not even one! And they finally had it last night against the A's. The White Sox now, what, 66 games under 500?
Something like that. This was their 28th win of the season.
I think they're 28-88. So I think they're 60 games under.
Oh, man. That's brutal.
They're going to finish. Let's see. So what are they on pace for? Like 40 wins?
Oh, I don't think so. Less than 40.
Really? How many wins are they on pace for? Let's do some quick math.
I can do that.
They have a 241 winning percentage.
Oh, no.
So 0.241 times 162, we get, quick math, 39 wins. The Chicago White Sox are on pace to win 39 Major League Baseball games, 39 out of 162 games. That would have made them, that would have tied them with the Bulls for the 9 seed in the Eastern Conference of the NBA, and they would have been 12th. In the Western Conference, behind the Houston Rockets, who finished 41-41.
It tells you everything.
They played 162 games and couldn't make the playoffs in the NBA.
if they won 39 games, that's the equivalent in an 82-game season. If you gave them those 39, they still wouldn't be a 500 team in the NBA.
They just gave them...
If they got the 39 wins.
What's a 241 winning percentage across 82 games? 20 wins. Yikes, man.
Man. My one disappointment isn't that that the A's lost, because, look, you're going to lose games, and the A's have proven that they can lose as many games as almost anyone outside of the White Sox. My problem is that you're running a 34, almost 35-year-old Ross Stripling out there who has not been good all season long, and... you don't have anyone else that you could have brought up. I mean, this is August. You don't have anything to play for.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing running him out there for more starts? Like, bring somebody up and give them an opportunity to start.
Do anything.
Try to build something, because that's what the White Sox did the night before.
Yeah. Just Kai Bush. Hey, here's your first start. Go. Yeah.
And then at Cannon, same thing. Like, rookie, like, go ahead. Go out there and, like, fight through it. And
Kai Bush is a hoss, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, he's listed at 6'6", 250.
Oof.
Can you rush the passer? No, here's my problem with the A's last night. They are now 21 games under 500. They were 20 games under entering last night, 47-67, one of the very worst teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing 22 by Taylor Swift during warmups.
Oh.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22 are the lyrics.
That's bold.
And I enjoy the petty, but you're 20 games under, bro. And you're going to go troll the team that's lost 21 in a row? Like, you're not that far ahead of them.
That's a tough look.
You and the White Sox, there are not that many things separating you from the White Sox.
No.
Yeah, it's the A's are better, to be sure, but it's not like they're in a different stratosphere.
Oh, no, no. They're right above them. They'll both be in the bottom five. They'll be in the top five of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
This is where I'm conflicted, though, because I love Petty, and I love trash talk in sports. So while it's a terrible look, it's an even worse look that you went and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's a bad look. Because if they go win, it's like, oh, okay. Because the A's are the team that can do that. The A's can do that. I'm going to go look at some of the other bottom feeders here. The A's can do that.
Angels.
The Angels can do that. The A's just three and a half games back of the Angels right now for fourth place in the American League West. The Marlins at 42 wins can do that. The Rockies, 42 wins, they can do that. Because those are the teams that aren't punching way down.
Yeah.
Those are the also bad teams making fun of another bad team. If they went and played the Phillies, who are 67-46, they've tied for the second best record in baseball. If they played the Phillies and the Phillies are playing 22, it's like, oh, that's punching down. Mm. You can't do that. That's tough.
So you're okay with the A's playing it?
Yeah, I'm fine. But not now. Not now that they lost.
Like,
you're tempting fate at that point.
You are tempting fate. I mean, that's for sure. And we're talking about like a team that was just rudderless and can't find their way at all.
Yeah.
Like, they can't pitch. They can't hit. They
stink.
Yeah, they can't field. Like, all kinds
they
of problems.
They stink.
Yeah, just super tough.
Yeah. Anyways, tough look for the A's. Chicago White Sox, congratulations on winning after 21 consecutive losses. The streak is stopped. Elsewhere in non quick, we have breaking 49ers wide receiver news. The 49ers have released wide receiver Tariq Owens and safety Eric Harris. They brought in running back Keyshawn Vaughn and wide receiver Jonte Kirkland. Bang, bang. That's it. Tariq Owens, son of Terrell Owens, no longer with the 49ers.
Wow. Tough world.
Hate to see it. But that was kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was undrafted, right? Yeah.
Was not probably going to be a guy. Elsewhere in the sports world last night, we got some Lauri Markkanen numbers.
Yeah, Lauri Markkanen got paid. Okay, so this is always like...
Let's dive in.
We talk about these things all the time, right? Like, why didn't the Kings go out and get P.J. Washington? It's like, well, because they didn't have Grant Williams and a first-round pick to go trade for P.J. Washington, right? And then you see what Lauri Markkanen got. So if you were going to go trade for Lauri Markkanen, it would have cost everything. Like, they, first of all, their first ask would have been Keegan Murray. You'd have been like, no, it would have been Keegan Murray and probably three firsts or two firsts. And if Keegan Murray's not involved, you're talking like four first-round picks and a couple of pick swaps, right? The problem is that, like, that in itself is so expensive to, like, send to Utah for Lauri Markkanen.
Right. Just acquiring him
just
without
that on its
the
own.
Financials involved.
Without anything else. Like, right. You would have had to give up a player probably like around the Kevin Huerter range and pay. And then on top of that, you would have had to give up all kinds of assets. So Lauri Markkanen just signed a new four-year extension. The first, it's going to look like 5 years, but it's a four-year extension. But they did the exact same thing that the Kings did with Domantas Sabonis, and that is they renegotiated his final year of his deal and bumped up his salary, and then they gave him an extension based on that renegotiated dollar figure. So Lauri Markkanen was making $18 million. They just gave him a $24 million boost, which pushed him to $42 million on the season right now. Right now.
Dang.
Then they gave him a four-year extension on top of that with 8% raises. So he is now under contract for 5 years. And, of course, today is August 7th. He's signing this today. He cannot be traded all season long. He probably won't be traded for the foreseeable future. He signed a five-year $238 million contract. That works out to an average annual salary of $47.6 million. And so, like, look, when we talk about these things, it's kind of you have to look at this dollar figure as part of what you could not have extended him as well. Because before you did the DeMar DeRozan trade, right? This could have been feasible. Maybe there was a world in which you could afford De'Aaron Fox, Lauri Markkanen, and Domantas Sabonis. When you add in another $24 to $25 million salary, and then you add in another $18 to $20 million salary for Malik Monk, and then you add in the future salary of Keegan Murray, we're not talking first apron. We're not talking second apron. We're talking like
you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars just in tax bills.
Yeah. And so, like, Lauri Markkanen, I personally believe is worth that 5-year, $238 million, even though he only plays 65 games a year. But that's what you have to consider when you're trading for a guy like this. It's what you have to consider when you're you're contemplating a Brandon Ingram trade, which it now appears that they're not going to be able to trade him. They're going to hold on to him and go into the season, you know, in a final final lame duck year. Like, all of this is crazy, but you have to look at the big picture. So it's not just, you know, potential Keegan Murray and some picks. It's not just, or like, four first round picks and all these pick swaps. On top of that, it's that you were going to have to pay him all kinds of money, and maybe he's worth it, right? And he probably would be worth it, but that doesn't mean that, like, all the package in its totality would be worth it.
No.
And the Kings, the other thing, the Kings could not have done the $24 million bump in pay and then the extension on top of that. They also, if they would have done this for Markkanen on the 6th, right? Like it yesterday. So he could have been traded by the February 6th trade deadline. The Kings also would not have had the ammunition to go get Lauri Markkanen, because as of right now, you're trading, you know, a Kevin Huerter size salary. But then, like, how do you come up with, you know, something like $35 million in salary to trade? And that becomes like almost impossible for the Kings. So you're talking about not only Kevin Huerter, you're talking about Trey Lyles, you're talking about McDaniels, and that even still, you're $30 million. You got to come up with another $5 million. So who else are you trading?
Jesus,
to go get a Markkanen at $42 million and going over the luxury tax. So, and you can't do it either way, because that would put you over the first apron, which you're already hard capped at. So again, like, this, it's one of those deals where you just kind of like, okay, this isn't going to help.
It didn't, as this has all gone down, I don't think there was ever a realistic world where Lauri Markkanen was getting traded.
I don't think so either.
It was, we talked about it, and it was talked about, there were reports on it, but if you go really stack up what all the Lauri Markkanen reporting was, it was all largely just kind of the same stuff. It's just, this team has made a substantial offer. Okay, what was it? Don't know.
I don't know, but that team told me they made him a substantial offer. They made the Jazz a substantial offer. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay.
The Jazz were doing, up until recently, what the 49ers were doing with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, he could, and frankly, the Niners have done with like every player. It's, yeah, he's available if you want to way overpay for him.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it... I think this entire time they were ready to give him this 5-year, $238 million extension.
Well, that he's a very talented player. At 27 years old, 7 foot tall, can shoot the three, can score off the bounce, can rebound. Like, he does a lot of things, right? It's still, is he a franchise player? Because you just gave him franchise player money.
Yep.
You know, like, he made an all-star team, but is he a franchise player? And this is the same discussion that teams around the league have had about Brandon Ingram. Like, Brandon Ingram made an all-star team. His stats the year he made the all-star team were very comparable to the year Markkanen made the all-star team. But is he worth the 5-year, $238 million, where the average salary is over $47 million a year? And that's tough. It's not an easy decision, because when you make that, even for a team like the Jazz, who does not have they don't have a lot of higher in salaries moving forward, it's still a huge commitment. Because if he's not the dude, you don't want to be the Chicago Bulls, who can't give away Zach LaVine.
That's the thing with this. I understand Lauri Markkanen is a really, really good player. This is not about Lauri Markkanen, but this is what the Jazz have committed to now.
Yeah.
Is there a path where the Jazz, as their roster stands, where in the next 3 or 4 years they're threatening in the West?
No, not unless they start.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
And like you said, maybe they sign Brandon Ingram and they trade a couple of their young pieces and bring somebody in, and now they're a little more viable. I just, with the way their roster looked last season,
mm-hmm.
and now you're bringing in Lauri Markkanen, who was your biggest trade chip where you could bring in real assets, they decided to hold on to him. And I know they still have a ton of assets left over from the Rudy Gobert trade.
Yeah, they still have a bunch of first round
picks. Yeah, they're doing okay. But they've committed now to this, I guess, mini rebuild, because like you just said, Lauri Markkanen is 27.
Yeah.
Which is not old, but you're working within a 5-year window now where you're getting prime Lauri Markkanen.
Yep.
Ideally. Which means this is all now very, very accelerated for them, where we talked about DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
That trade, all right, clock's ticking.
Yep.
Clock's ticking in Utah now. And I don't know that there's a path forward that I see them being a real threat in the West in terms of pushing for not only pushing for a playoff spot and a real playoff spot, not just being in the play-in, but mm-hmm. pushing for a real playoff spot in the top six. And then, like, winning series and getting to the conference finals or the finals, I don't see it. I like Lauri Markkanen, but man,
they have to have a lot of things go right. Keyontae George has to be like phenomenal. Cody Williams has to hit. Taylor Hendricks has to be a player. Like, there are a lot of things that you're talking about have to go right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they do swing a trade. Like, maybe they do trade like a Walker Kessler and a. And John Collins for, go chase a Brandon Ingram. But even still, mm-hmm. you do that deal, and then you sign a huge extension for Brandon Ingram that would look a lot like the Lauri Markkanen extension, and you're getting, now you got two, like, fringe all-stars, because mm-hmm. that's what they are. You make the all-star team one time. I mean, you're not a guaranteed all-star, and not an all-NBA player. I think that's a distinction I'll make with De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox not only made an all-star team, but he also made an all-NBA mm-hmm. roster. That means you're one of the top 15, 20 players in the league. So I would make the distinction, though, between those two. But two players that are, you know, might be all-stars, but at $80 million a year, $80 to $90 million a year for the foreseeable future, that'd be tough.
Yeah, I hate this because I don't want to come across as a hater, to use for lack of a better word. But to me, I don't know that I'd give Lauri Markkanen that kind of money and establish that, like, this is a franchise cornerstone player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he is, because I think if you're going to do that, I think, and he's a tier below Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to me.
Uh-huh.
If you're gonna do the thing where you don't have a superstar, multiple superstars, then you need to build a roster kind of like the Celtics have, and I think the Celtics are kind of the peak version of it, where it's Tatum and Brown, but then it's Porzingis and it's Derek White and it's Drew Holiday and it's all these, like, elite role players.
I think what you're trying to say is this.
Help me.
Lauri Markkanen is Kristaps Porzingis, but you don't have Jason Tatum. You don't have Jaylen Brown.
Exactly,
you don't have Derek White.
That's exactly what
I'm saying.
You
don't have Drew Holiday. You might have, you know.
Yeah, I think he's that. I think he's one of the, like, elite role guys.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to come across like I'm saying Lauri Markkanen is a bad player. No, Lauri Markkanen's awesome.
No. I love Lauri Markkanen standing next to Domantas Sabonis in the starting lineup.
Right.
Defensively, you're going to have some issues, but
that's fine.
I'm all in, though, on the offensive potential. Like, that would have been, like,
yeah, right. As a man, Kings just added an elite. Again, role guy gets this, like, negative connotation, but if you're not a star, you're a role guy.
Yeah.
The league is like 95% role guys. It's not a bad thing to be.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't mistake, like, I'm coming across like Lauri Markkanen stinks. He doesn't. But like you just said, you put it perfectly. He should be a Kristaps Porzingis for your team, not a Jaylen Brown or a Jason Tatum.
Well, even if he could be it might be a Jaylen Brown, like in one situation,
mm-hmm.
but you would still have to have the Jason Tatum and the other three or four guys, and they're just so far right. away from that.
I like Keyonte George. I don't think he's going to be that. If they go sign Brandon Ingram in the offseason, okay, that's a nice signing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes them better. But I don't think I'm not in the camp that Brandon Ingram is one of those guys. I think Brandon Ingram is a different players, but Derek White level impact.
Drew Holiday, Derek White type impact. Yeah.
Yeah, where he, again, not nearly the defender those guys are, but that kind of level of player, that tier of player.
Or if we look at other teams that have gone through this process,
please.
Like he is the Chris Middleton to Giannis Antetokounmpo mm-hmm. and Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could be that player.
Yeah, like a tertiary guy.
He's a really strong like number two scorer, but also probably your third or fourth best player.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like there's nothing wrong with that.
It is, on an NBA champion, that is a good thing to be.
Yeah. If you can get to that status. But
so that's what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah.
It feels like the Jazz think they just signed their, again, I'm using the Celtics here because I think the peak of NBA team building right now would be they just won a title. I think the Jazz just think they signed their Jason Tatum. And I don't think Lauri Markkanen is that.
No. And I think that's fair. I do think that that's a very fair assessment. And look around the league. There are plenty of other players or teams that are in similar situations where you're like, are you that guy? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see Lauri Markkanen as Devin Booker.
Although, man.
Like, if Bradley Beal was, you know, healthy, maybe he's Bradley Beal in this scenario.
Sure. They need a better player than Lauri Markkanen, I think, if they're going to compete. Compete for a title.
Well, they need a better player, and then they need like four or five like Harrison Barnes level players, which they don't have many of at this point.
I will say though, if there's another leap for Lauri Markkanen to make, or another step, you could be looking at a guy that's scoring like 27 a game on 50-40-90.
Yeah.
His last 2 years, he's 49% from the field, 39.5% from three, and 88.5% from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, okay, then maybe I'll change my mind. But if he's going to stay at 25 points on his current percentages and he's going to be really good, but not...
I think it's interesting, too. Like, I know Leezy in the chat, he likes the Brandon Ingram disrespect that we have. But again, I think Brandon Ingram's a really good player. But let's say just somehow today, the Sacramento Kings traded for Brandon Ingram. And it didn't cost them any of their top, mm-hmm. their five core.
Mm-hmm.
So no Fox, no Monk, no Keegan Murray, no Sabonis, no DeMar DeRozan.
Mm.
Where would Brandon Ingram be on your team, like talent? Where would you put him as your number what player? Year one.
He's behind Fox. He's behind Sabonis. He's probably behind Monk.
What about DeRozan?
He's probably behind DeRozan. I would trust DeRozan more.
Okay.
So he's minimum fourth?
I'm going to say fourth, fifth.
Or maximum fourth?
Yeah, like fourth best player probably.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, that's...
And probably your fourth scoring
that's not
option?
Being disrespectful.
Yeah, no, Brandon Ingram is fine. Brandon Ingram is not... This is the problem.
Yeah.
I say, I don't think Brandon Ingram is a 1A player and I'm being disrespectful. No, that's just the truth, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the facts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, they were willing to move on from a 27-year-old and not pay him the big contract because they have a younger player that's coming up behind him that they think can take his spot.
The Pelicans don't want to sign into a max contract, and they said, hey, this guy's available. Anybody want this Brandon Ingram?
Yeah.
Anyone? Brandon Ingram's going to play this season in New Orleans.
Yeah. It's literally like Ben Stein and Ferris Bueller's day off. Like, Bueller. Anyone seen Bueller?
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's not disrespect, it's the truth.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Anyways.
Tough.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Hour number two coming up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.